You know, the Memorial Day, you know, I think back, all my uncles, everybody in my family, pretty much, all the men were in World War II. And I don't think any of them got killed. Some of them really got changed. One was in the Marines that was in the South Pacific. You know, they had to go from island to island fighting. It was just an absolute nightmare. You know, people wouldn't accept what happened then now because they would take an island and lose 10,000 Marines the first day. You understand? I mean, they would never allow this to happen today. They try to, you know, I think their instructions are to the commanders over in Iraq and Afghanistan, man, just don't let nobody get killed today. You know, you do everything you can. Back then, it might have cost us 10, 20,000 men to take an island. I mean, it would just be a slaughter, you know. They'd kill 10, 20,000 Marines, and the Marines would kill about 70, 80,000 Japanese soldiers. But thank God, my uncle's one that was a Marine, it changed him, you know. You can't go through that and not be changed, you know. I think he kind of was an alcoholic after that. One of my uncles was in the Air Force. He lost a hand. That was, you know. But I think mentally he came out okay. And, you know, my dad was in the Navy, but he was a cook, so he wasn't charging up a mountain, you know. And he got out of the Navy. He opened up a grocery store, butcher shop, because he knew all about food and stuff, you know. Really successful. It was downtown St. Louis, and he had a big meat counter, and he cut the food. Back then, they didn't have supermarkets. They just had local neighborhood grocery stores, you know, and that's what he started up, and he really prospered. Amen? And my mom and dad took us to church every Sunday, you know, and we really prospered. It was amazing, I think, back now how, you know, we got a TV. We was one of the first ones in the whole neighborhood to get a TV. My dad got a car. We didn't even have a car when we was real young. He had to take a bus to work, and then, you know, we bought a house, you know, finally. And then I remember that house. I don't know if I was even in kindergarten, yes, but the trash man stole my little wagon or my bicycle. I left it close to the trash can. When they come and dump the trash, that guy took it, my bicycle. And boy, my dad was mad, and he went and called the cops, you know, and yeah. And one day coming home, my dad wasn't a real big guy, but he would carry groceries home from the store, and a big old Great Dane or something took out after him. He opened the door and jumped in some guy's car, you know. There's certain things that stick in your mind, you know. And I swallowed a nickel. I was out playing in the front yard, just, I don't even know if I was kindergarten yet, but all I remember was these two women, these neighbor women, they seen me, they run out there, one had one leg and one had the other leg, and they were shaking me upside down, man. Yeah, and I spit that old nickel out. Yeah, I mean, it's amazing, you know. It's amazing the things you can remember. But my dad bought another, got a bigger house, and we lived there for a while. And then pretty soon, it wasn't too long, he built another. You know, while we lived in the second house, I went to a little white school. You know, when you go by these schools now, you'll see the kids aren't even there. There'll be 50 cars there. Teachers, administrators, there's somebody for everybody. Well, in this church, there was a couple secretaries and the teachers, and they hung out the window, had a big rope, and they would pull that rope and ring a great big bell. And that time meant it was time for recess. And we run outside, there was nothing out there but an old milk wagon. It looked like a stagecoach, and had the wheels taken off of it, and it'd sit there in a big green field, and we all run for it. Yeah, I mean, I'm not that old, but I remember as a kid, horse-drawn milk wagons going through St. Louis. They delivered the milk right to your house. They had a horse pulling a milk wagon. It had ice in there and milk, and he'd stop, and he'd get out and put it up on your right there in front of your door, a glass bottle of milk, fresh milk. And it wasn't, you know, I don't remember that much about the guys delivering the ice. Do you remember that? Yeah, because people didn't have electricity, so big block of ice. That guy have those big pincers, and he'd clamp onto it, and I mean, if you lived on the fourth floor, man, he had to drag that big old block of ice up there. You put it in your ice box. It'd sit there, it'd melt real slow, but it'd keep it cool enough in there, you know. And a lot of these young folks today don't know what the world was like. Memorial Day is kind of like Memory Day, you know. But anyway, all I know is my folks went to church. And they took me to church, and I believe they probably tithed, amen? I was too little to know, but good things happened, and they prospered, amen? But anyway, the times have changed, haven't they? The times have changed, and that's what I want to talk about today, the signs of the times. That would kind of be the message, but so let's pray. Father, we thank you for today, and thank you for this message. I thank you, Holy Spirit, that you're here with us and among us, in us. And I pray that you give me the words to speak, to communicate this message, and eyes to see with. Open up the eyes of our spirits, Lord, so that we can receive and get revelation. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, if you have your Bibles with you, turn to Luke chapter 21. And we'll just stop right there. I'm going to talk a little bit yet. You know, most Bible teachers and people, Christians, true believers, should know, or they believe, that we're in the last days. Amen. I could go on and on and on about reasons why, but I've never, ever seen it like this. You know, I've been saved, born again, speak with tongues over 40 years. Okay, it'd be 41 years now. This was 1974, so that would be 26, 36, and 5 is 41 years. I've never, ever seen it like it is now. You know, when I got saved, the first thing I did, you know, of course they said, read the book of John and, you know, whatever, because, you know, and a few other ones, but I went and bought me, I went and read Revelations. Because, man, I wanted to know how it ended. I swear, I was sure it was going to be within 6 months we were going to go into tribulation and the Lord was coming back. I just thought it was, you know. I thought it was bad. But, you know, that didn't happen. But the things that are happening now, you know, go way past anything that I thought as a brand new Christian I didn't know. But, you know, some of these guys like Jonathan Conant, you know, others, they are talking about the Shemitahs, you know, the Shemitah year. The seventh year is always the Shemitah year. And then they come out with the blood moons, you know, how these blood moons are occurring on. It's a very rare thing that only happens so many times within thousands of years. That these four blood moons, and we've had, what, three of them? There's one more to go. That they're happening on these big Jewish holidays. You know, Feast of the, there's these main ones, I don't know them all. But it's very rare for that to happen. And the Bible says they're, you know, the sun and the moon are for signs. Not just for give off light, but there's signs in the skies of things, you know, that the Lord has. You have the apostasy, the big falling away that's going on, where people are leaving the church in droves, okay? The church attendance is going down, 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 down. You have the rise of these Muslim extremists, the terrorists, you know, the immorality and everything, you know, the sexual immorality, just all kinds of riots. There's, you know, it's just getting worse and worse. And you can just see the dark clouds coming in. You can just see things just lining up. And one of the things that I think about is the, and a lot of people are not aware of, but I've tried to follow it pretty close. I read a lot of books and follow the news and articles about the technology that's going on today and messing with DNA and genomes or, you know, see, what they want to do is basically have, you know, like when the computers came out, there was Windows 1.0 or whatever, you know. They want to go to, well, when God created us, we're human 1.0. What they want to do is make humans 2.0, the next version of humanity. They want to change us through DNA and through high-tech things, engineered, like, you know, they can go in and mess with your DNA, okay. They can use, through this high-tech stuff, they can have robotic parts. You know, they're always developing. It always starts out for the good, you know. Somebody's got a leg cut off, you know, they can give them a leg, but it can go farther than that to where they can actually put chips in you. They can actually They want to, you know, talk about putting chips in your head and in your mind and changing you. And, you know, once you do that, once you go to this, you could say almost a hybrid human being, okay? It's not what God created it's not what God created. And I don't think God's going to let it happen. I think the enemy's going to try to do it with people, but I don't think I think God is going to do something before, because see, once it gets started, it could change all of humanity. It's just a matter of time, you see. And I don't think God is going to let the world change what he created from the original human being, Adam and Eve, to what we have now. I don't think he's going to allow them to change all of our DNA and all the things that, make up the human that God created, okay? And you kind of, if you don't pay attention, you don't know anything about this. But the technology is there every day. I see articles. They're trying, what they want is, immortality. They want to make somehow humans, these scientists, they want to be immortal. They don't want to die when they're 80 years old, right? And I can understand that, but God has a way to do that. In other words, you believe in Jesus, you get born again, and when you go to heaven, you'll live forever, right? They reject God, and they want to do it themselves their way without God. So let's put your brain on a robot, right? That will live for 500,000 years or something, see? And that's what they're going for. They're going for that. And people don't realize that. And the technology is quadrupling. It's just, it used to be the knowledge. I saw a chart once that said knowledge, human knowledge. It started out like this with Adam and Eve, I guess. And it was just, you know how a graph is. It goes along. It just barely raises up. This is over thousands of years. It barely rises up. Come about the year 1900, and right after that, it starts going up like this. Okay? And I mean, it's just, we're doubling our knowledge every few years. I mean, it's going off the charts. You know, it's just like God said with Nimrod, and when he built that Tower of Babel, he said, hey, we got to stop them because they all speak one language, they can communicate. And nothing, that's what God says, the Bible says this, nothing will be impossible to them. Isn't that incredible? That when the people are in unity and they're all speaking one tongue and together, it says nothing will be impossible for them. And so that's why he just scattered them all over the earth and changed their tongue so they couldn't communicate. And, what's happening? Well, through the internet and everything, through modern devices, the whole world. I mean, you can talk to somebody in China. You know what I'm saying? Everything can be brought together and controlled. Like a one world government type thing, it could never be possible without high technology. All this advanced technology is creating a situation where you can have a one world government type thing, okay? Now, people aren't teaching this in churches and preaching this, okay? I'm just giving you a little nugget here. It might be, way more than you can compute it right now, but I don't want you to be ignorant of what is going on, okay? There is this people, these scientists that are into this high technology, they want you to live more than 70 or 80 years. They want you to live, a lot of these people, these billionaires that own Google, Facebook, and all these, they're throwing all this money into this stuff. They got scientists, and you get together, and this is what we want. We want to live to at least 150 years old. Now, see what you can come up with, And they're doing it. They've done it with rats and stuff, double the lifespan of a certain animal or a rat. They want to do this, and they want to mess with what God created, okay? I'm going to have eternal life, but it's going to be in heaven, amen, with a new body.
Amen.
Amen. And, I'm not trying to scare you or anything, but this is what is happening. The technology is exploding, okay? And they're going to try to make it's called transhumanism, okay? It's, what they want to do is go from the original creation of God. They want to kind of transform you into something else through high technology, messing with DNA, chips, and stuff like this. Okay, this is all coming. Okay, there's absolutely no doubt about it. It's just a matter of how fast it's going to come. Okay? So, I didn't see any tomatoes fly by my head. You may not understand all that I said, But what I'm trying to say is perilous times are coming. Okay? And we know about the mark of the beast in the end times. You got to take that mark. And the Bible says, whoever takes that mark, you're lost. You'll never be saved. You're unsavable after you take the mark of the beast. Okay? You understand what I'm saying? Once you take the mark of the beast, you can't be saved. You need to know that, because you never ever take the mark of the beast, right? So, in the book of Revelation and Daniel's and other one, there are prophetic things that talk about the last days. But Brother Hagin said that there's some, and they're hard to understand. You know, a lot of things in Revelation and Daniel and others that said, but Brother Hagin said there were some foolproof scriptures. And these things are things that Jesus said, and James and Peter and Paul and some of the other New Testament writers. So let's read what Jesus said in Luke 21, verse 25. Luke 21, verse 25. It says, there will be signs in the sun, the moon and the stars, okay? And some of that blood moon stuff, and the, you know, this is all end time stuff. They're talking, that's why they're talking, the blood moon, this thing is so big, because it's signs, okay? In the, there'll be signs in the heavens, you know, in the moon, the sun. And it says, on earth, nations will be in anguish and perplexity at the roaring and the tossing of the sea. Men will faint from terror, apprehensive of what is coming on the world, for the heavenly bodies will be shaken. At that time, they will see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with the power and great glory. When these things begin to take place, stand up and lift up your heads, because your redemption is drawing near. Okay. Now, you might say, well, what does that mean, that my redemption is drawing near? I thought I was already redeemed. Huh? Yeah. What do you mean my redemption is drawing near? I thought I was already redeemed, right? Well, you are. And that is, your spirit is. Okay? When you receive Jesus Christ as your Savior, you are born again, right? Your body is not born again. Your head's not born again. Your spirit is born again. It says you become a new creature in Christ Jesus. Remember, spirit, soul, and body? Your spirit is, okay? So let's look at Romans. Help understand this. Let's look at Romans 8:22. You know, this technology can be good when it does something good. Amen? I suppose somebody that's got a bad heart, that had a heart attack, if they can put a pacemaker in there or whatever, you know, that's a good thing, right, to help them live. The trouble is, the same technology that's used for good can then be used for evil. Okay, so and everything seems to start out that way for good reasons and purposes. But then, you know that there's that dark side of man, you know, where the devil is operating, and he uses that for other things, okay? But in Romans 8:22, it says, we know that the whole creation has been groaning. See that word, groaning? All of creation is groaning, as in the pains of childbirth, right up to the present time. Not only so, but we ourselves, who have the first fruits of the Spirit, groan inwardly as we wait eagerly for our adoption as sons, comma, the redemption of our bodies. Okay? So remember, it says in that first scripture we talked about, look up, for your redemption draws nigh. Okay, it's not talking about your spirit. Your spirit is saved. It's born again. Amen? But there's a whole lot more that's coming for us. Amen? So, and it's interesting In the scriptures, it talks about the groaning. It says all of creation is groaning, right? And then it says, we ourselves, the believers, we're groaning in our spirits. Amen? In our souls, we're groaning. Okay? It also says the Holy Spirit is groaning. And we'll get to that scripture in a minute. And then it says that, Jesus was groaning when he prayed, and because of the heaviness and the sin on the world and how it affected people. When he prayed, he sighed real deep. And it was, if you look up the word in the Greek, it's the same word. It's groaning. It is used also as groaning, okay? The world's groaning. We're groaning. The Holy Spirit is groaning. Jesus is groaning. You understand? Deep, deep groanings in us because of the wickedness and the sin on this earth, but because we know, or you should know, and you should be looking forward to what you got coming, man. Right? Oh, man. You know, that's what keeps you going. That's what keeps you connected to Jesus, because of what is coming. Amen? We're groaning for that day when, hey, you know, just think one day, boom, man, I'm going to be walking in on them streets of gold in heaven with a new immortal body. No sin, no torment, no evil, right? No evil boss, right? Or somebody, you know, no oppressive government, you know, trying to scratch out a living, you know. No more pain. Do you understand? We're going to be changed. Our spirits, I'm getting way ahead of myself here. Let's look at it a little more closely. It says in that scripture, it talked about first fruits. But we ourselves who have the first fruit of the Spirit, okay? What are some of the first fruits of the Spirit? What is it? Does that mean there? Okay. Well, Brother Hagin said that some of these first fruits of the spirits are the Holy Spirit. When you receive the Holy Spirit at the new birth, you're changed, right? And the Holy Spirit comes and lives and dwells with you. That's one of the first fruits of the Holy Spirit. And then the baptism of the Holy Spirit, for those of you who have experienced being baptized with the Holy Spirit, and I have, it is a separate thing. It's a thing that happened after I got born again. When I got born again, the Holy Spirit came and lived in me. I knew it. I was absolutely changed. It just blew me away. Because my life the day before and my life the day after was totally different. It was like night and day. Amen? I was in a fantasy world, man. It was just unbelievable. It's like, oh my gosh, you know? Everything was so different. I knew I was a different person inside. It was just the most incredible thing. And then it was so many months later, I was sitting in church. And there was a man and a woman went up. The husband, I think, or the wife started speaking in tongues. The man started interpreting. And while this was happening, the Holy Spirit, I got baptized in the Holy Spirit. I almost jumped up out of that seat and started hollering and yelling and talking in unknown words. I didn't know what was even happening to me. I thought they were going to drag me out of that place, but I put my hand over my mouth, you know. I didn't know what was coming out of my mouth, but I thought I was going to scream. I didn't know. But anyway, I got baptized with the Holy Ghost. And then the gifts of the Spirit. The gifts of the Spirit that we have now. You know, the Holy Spirit, it's as the Holy Spirit wills. He's the one who gives the gifts and, brings them into manifestation when he wants. These are I don't know that they're all, but these are some of the first fruits of the Spirit. In other words, when you get born again, all of a sudden the Holy Spirit starts coming into your life. He lives in you, and the things that happen, those would be the first fruits of the Holy Spirit, right? And there could be others. We named the Holy Spirit at the new birth, the baptism of the Holy Spirit, gifts, because they're operating, controlled by the Holy Spirit, right? So that's some of the first fruits. Amen? And also, in Ephesians, see, what is that? Is that Ephesians chapter 4, verse 1, where it talks about the deposit, the Holy Spirit is a deposit in you? Let's see if somebody can, I lost that. I thought I had it jotted down here. Deposit. I wanted to read that. Let's see. If we... Well, I need it to show you more about... I'll find it. Ephesians 1:14. Okay, that's it. Thank you, Donald. Yeah, that's what I was thinking. It says in, let's back up to verse 13, Ephesians 1:13, it says, "And you also were included in Christ when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. Having believed, you were marked in him with a seal." You understand? The promised Holy Spirit, who is a deposit, guaranteeing our inheritance into the redemption of those who are God's possession to the praise of his glory. Well, what's a deposit? You know, if you ever bought a house, you bought a car, you bought anything, right? The car might cost $20,000, and you put a deposit down, like $500 or $1,000 or something, right? You buy a house, you put a small amount down. A lot more is coming, right? Hey, the Holy Spirit is a deposit of what's coming, man. Boy, I mean, it's just shouting hallelujah stuff. Boy, there's a whole bunch coming. Amen? And it's like a seal on us. You know what a seal is? You know, the king took his ring and made a seal, you know? Whatever, a rubber stamp seal of the United States or a notary public, you know, where they stamp that seal on there. He's, you know, God looks. Now, it's not going to be hard for the angels to do the harvest in the end, because all they'll see is that seal on you, man. Right? The Holy Ghost, the blood over the doorways of your heart. Amen. The Holy Ghost is there. I mean, it's not going to be, he's not going to miss you by accident. No. Right? And so that scripture helps talk about the first fruits. You know, the one we read about the first fruits. Amen. The Holy Ghost is, you know, the first fruit of those who believe and are redeemed, you know. And it talks about a deposit here. Amen. We're marked with a seal, the promise of the Holy Spirit. He was a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance. Man, we got a whole lot more inheritance coming, right? That's only the deposit. But thank God for the Holy Ghost. If that's the deposit, how wonderful it is to have the Holy Ghost, because you're not even saved unless you have the Holy Ghost. If that's just a deposit, then think about what the inheritance is all going to be, right? Yeah. I mean, one day we're going to be out of this mess, boy. We are going to be changed like from a caterpillar to a butterfly. And it's going to be shouting stuff. Amen?
Amen.
And so, praise God. And then it talks about groaning inwardly. Groaning inwardly. And I remember I said it was the Holy Spirit groaned for us. Was groaning. The Holy Spirit groaned. Believers groaned. The world, the creation groans, right? And Jesus groaned. There's groaning going on. Because these are terrible, terrible times and the wickedness and the evil. And we know what's coming. It's like, you know, it's like you're in the desert, man, and you're dying of thirst, and you're laying there, and the sun is scorching you, right? And but you know, somehow you got word that somebody's bringing water. And you're waiting. You've been waiting, man. And you've been waiting. Your tongue's swollen up. And you're turning black from getting burned up. And you're going, you know, You're groaning, man. That water's coming. Hurry, hurry with the water, right? That's Jesus, folks. That's Jesus. Things are about to go from bad to worse on this planet. And it's like, I was in churches where it said, big back here says, come, Lord Jesus, you know. Come, Lord Jesus. And people are groaning. I looked this up in one of my Bible commentaries, and just to see what it would say, and it was okay, you know, I thought I'd read some of it to you. It says, we believers groan, okay? The reason we groan is because we have experienced the first fruits of the Spirit. It's a foretaste of the glory to come, okay? Remember I said, this is just the deposit. This is just the first fruits, and it's so good, right? I love the Holy Spirit, how he comforts me. He shows me things. Amen? He's there in me. He's my counselor, right? I love the Holy Spirit. You should love the Holy Spirit. And so if that's a taste of the goodness of God in my life, right, the Holy Spirit, you know, like I said, just think what other great things are going to come to pass in your life. Everything that God ever promised in his word here, amen, for the people who trust him and believe, is yours. It's your inheritance, and man, it's coming. And we don't know half of it. We're so busy trying to fix the plumbing, you know, or get a raise, or go to the grocery store, go to buy a good hamburger, you know. You know what I'm saying? We're not even thinking about these eternal spiritual things. Our inheritance is coming. Amen? The more you think about it, boy, the better it gets. Amen? And it'll keep you from going down the wrong trail. Amen? Because in these times, you've got to guard yourself every day. Amen? Against sin in your life. Allow the worldliness in. Amen? I'm a big believer in living a holy life. Amen? And so, this makes us want to see the Lord and receive a new body and live with him and serve him forever. We are waiting for the adoption, which is the redemption of the body when Christ returns. This is the thrilling climax to the adoption that took place at conversion when the Spirit of adoption gave us an adult standing in the family of God. When Christ returns, we shall enter into our full inheritance. Okay? When we see him, we will be as he is, like him, right? You understand, when Jesus comes, we're going to be changed. We're not going to have these frail bodies, you know. Now, some of you that's real young, you don't think your body's so frail, but just wait a few years. You know what I mean? Huh? Boy, we're going to be changed. We're waiting for that redemption of our bodies. We want to. He's promised me all this stuff. He promised me immortal life, eternal life, in this immortal body made out of immortal substance. Man, I want it. Amen? I want that new body.
Amen?
Amen? And I want to walk down them streets of gold. And I want to maybe talk to Abraham. Maybe I want to talk to Noah. Oh, there's Noah sitting over there at a table drinking tea under that big, beautiful tree. I think I'll go talk to Noah. Right? Or something. Wouldn't that be interesting? Or Enoch? Ooh. Oh, Adam and Eve. That would be probably a long line to get to talk to them. But, you know, talk to some of the apostles or, you know, I don't know. You know, if we're going to be eternal, living forever, I guess sooner or later you get to talk to them if you wanted to. Meanwhile, we wait and hope, for we are saved by that hope. What hope? The blessed hope. You ever hear the blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ? See, the best is yet to come. Okay, you got saved, you got set free, and inside you're jumping. See, I can tell when people get born again, really get born again and saved, man, because they inside they are so happy. It doesn't mean everything in life is going to be just floating along, you know, on clouds with angels fanning you, and you know, no, there's going to be potholes in the road, but man, they're so happy inside because Jesus, they're saved and they know it. Amen. They got a new life, and they've been set free from the powers of darkness. Amen? And so, they're You know, but the best is yet to come. The best is yet to come. Amen. You have an unbelievable, fantastic future. It's so awesome. I mean, it's just beyond what you can imagine, I think. Amen. See, here's the thing. What you're going through right now is only temporary. Okay? It may be a rough road, hard times, but it's only temporary. Just remember that. It's only temporary. Amen? The Holy Spirit groans, and Jesus groaned when he saw what sin was doing to mankind. The world groans. Believers groan. Why? Because we know there is something much, much better coming. Something that is wonderful and amazing. Everything that Jesus and our Heavenly Father promised us is getting ready to happen. It's getting ready to happen. Good, you know, this is a good time to shout, folks. Amen. Say hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Just make the devil mad. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. You need to talk to your mouth once in a while and tell it in your face and say, smile and be happy because it's getting ready to happen, man. Jesus is coming back.
Hallelujah.
Today, the Holy Spirit groans with us and feels the burdens of our weaknesses and our sufferings. The Holy Spirit is groaning because it sees what we're going through. It sees the wickedness in the world. And here we are, God's people, and we're suffering. Christians are being chopped up and shot overseas, killed. Over here, it's just a progressive war on your faith and Christianity. It's unbelievable. But the Spirit does more than groan. He prays for us in groaning, so that we might be led into the will of God. We do not always know God's will. We do not always know how to pray, but the Spirit intercedes so that we might live in the will of God in spite of suffering. The Spirit shares the burdens. You know, praying in the Spirit is like Holy Ghost-powered prayer. Amen? He's helping us pray. You know, the Holy Spirit is interceding for us. Jesus, it says, is sitting at the right hand of the Father, interceding for us night and day. You know, praise God. That was just commentary from that Bible commentary. I thought it was really good. The redemption of our bodies. When our bodies are redeemed, that is when we get our new bodies, just like Jesus has, immortal bodies. Amen? That's what it talks about, the redemption of our bodies. It's going to be changed, and it's just going to be like Jesus' body.
Hallelujah.
Immortal. You know, I mean, did Jesus have his new body when he came back down here after the crucifixion? I mean, he was walking through walls, and he was appearing, disappearing, and I kind of liked that idea, you know. The wife says, hey, honey, I got a job for you. And I go, boom, and I'm gone, you know, right through the wall. And then I'm right out in my boat fishing, you know, hooking into a big fish, you know. No, we ain't going to have any honeydews in heaven, I don't think. We groan because although our souls are saved, our bodies are still subject to pain and sin. Right? I don't know anybody that's got an immortal body here on earth that doesn't feel pain or is not your flesh. You know, the power of sin to pull you in, to tempt you, it's always there and it's powerful. You have to guard every day. Every day you have to guard against sin trying to come into your life or get pulled into sin. The world is like this giant magnet that is pulling you, trying to take you away from God and pull you into the worldly lifestyle, you see. We look forward to with hope to our resurrected bodies, which will be free from physical frailty and indwelling sin. Do not adapt worldly standards, okay? Do not adopt worldly standards. Guard against sin in your life. Live by God's standards. Amen? The world's got one standard. We got another standard. I see on the news now, Ireland, by popular vote. It wasn't some radical judge that decreed it. The people voted to bring in same-sex marriage. And it was overwhelming, you understand? See, this is the way the world is going. You know, a Christian's lifestyle and the way God tells us to live is absolutely contrary to the world's. Okay, you got to understand that if you're going to be a Christian and follow God and live a holy life, everybody's going to be going this way and you're going this way. You understand? Now, there's things that we have to do, you know, we got to work and have jobs and make money and buy food and have shelter and buy clothing. We know we got to do that. So in that part, we are in the world working and doing those things. But you have to be careful about taking on the attitude and the philosophy of the world. Okay? And God will supply our needs. We have to, Brother Hagin mentioned a guy, and I remember when this happened, because there was a certain guy that was being hired, and he was going from company to company to company. And he was to come in and just wipe out all the employees, you know, do all this really mean, ugly stuff, and then leave, you know, but he would get huge amount of money. But he said, I remember reading a newspaper article about a man who laid off thousands of people at some company, but who took approximately $100 million for himself and then left. You know, somehow they have a way of signing themselves bonuses and, you know, fees, you know, whatever. Somebody might say, well, it made good business sense. He said he thought it was just pure greed, the love of money, and that's how the world system works. You must be so careful about getting into materialism. See, that's the way the world works. I got to have this. I got to have this. I got to do this. I got to have. And it just, you got to have money and you want more and more and more. God wants you to have things. Amen. And he wants you to prosper. But you've got to guard against letting that spirit get in, that attitude, you know, of the world that you just, you know, it's all what gives you pleasure and what makes me happy. The main goal of my life is just to somehow, you know, go up the economic ladder and acquire more and more wealth and money. You understand what I'm saying? You've got to guard against that. If you follow the Lord and you stay true to him, he will prosper you. Amen? Amen. If you will come to church and you'll bring your tithes and your offerings into the storehouse and honor God, he will take care of you. Amen? Amen. He will take care of you. And there's many times he'll just put you in a position, in a place. Amen. Just because you're that godly man, he'll put you in a place where you're making all kinds of money. You're, you know, all kinds of good things are happening to you. Amen. You might see people. We talked about that, like in the scripture we read in the beginning. You know, looks like evil people are getting away with a lot of stuff and they're getting success and gains and all this. Don't worry about it. Don't worry about it, because those people are going to poof, you know, like dry grass going up in flames. But God will take care of you. He will make a way. Amen. He will. I mean, he's done it all through the history and in the Bible. He took Joseph. Look what he did with Joseph, the one son, the youngest son. His brothers threw him in a well. They were going to kill him, but decided not to. And they sold him as a slave to some caravan. He ends up in Egypt. It looks like, boy, this guy, he ends up in prison, falsely accused. But where's he end up? He ends up one notch below Pharaoh running that country, huh? Things might not look a little hairy for a while, but hang on. You know, God is, he'll take care of you. Amen?
Amen.
Yeah, man. Right below Pharaoh. He had charge of the whole country. Only Pharaoh was above him. Amen? And here he was, some guy that was in a hole in the ground, just come out of prison. You know? So, where are we at here? We need to check our lives against a list. Okay, and the list is in 2 Timothy chapter 3. 2 Timothy chapter 3. And we'll read 1 through 5. 2 Timothy chapter 3 verse 1. And it says, but mark this. So he's really putting an emphasis on this when he says, but mark this. There will be terrible times in the last days. People will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boastful, proud, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy, without love, unforgiving, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, not lovers of the good, treacherous, rash, conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. You know, that brings up a thing about if you tend to, the things that you love the most, that bring you the most pleasure and happiness are things of the world, you know, instead of God, there is a problem. But the best things in life, the things that give you the most pleasure is, you know, going down to the bar and listening to the band play every night and drinking and, you know, chasing the gals or something. These are all things of the world. These are sinful things. You know, it's a sin in the world. If that's what, you know, is the best thing in your life, what you really look forward to is these sinful things in your life, worldly things that are opposed to God, you've got major, major problems, okay? Lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. It could be drugs, could be, you know, pornography, sex, whatever it is. You understand? God is a jealous God, and he's got to be number one. Amen? And the Bible says those who are seeking and looking for Jesus to come back and all that belongs to him, it says they purify themselves. Okay? It's not okay to just run around in the world doing sin, thinking, oh, I'm saved, just the grace of God. I'm in, you know. No, the Bible says you are to be purifying yourself. Amen? It says, having a form of godliness but denying its power, have nothing to do with them. Okay? Look, I have more, but I'm going to stop here and I'm going to conclude it with 1 John 3. Now it says, now we'll read 1, verse 1 through 3. It says, 1 John 1, 3, it says, how great is the love the Father has lavished on us that we should be called children of God. And that is what we are. Amen? We are children of God. And that is the reason the world does not know us is that it did not know him. Dear friends, now we are children of God, and what we will be has not yet been made known. Amen? But we know that when he appears, we shall be like him. Amen? We don't know all the glory and all the super things that happen, right? When we are changed and Jesus comes back. But we know one thing, we're going to be like him. Amen? Amen? And boy, that's a good thing. For we shall see him as he is. Now, verse 3, everyone who has this hope in him, what does he do? Go play in the world and wait for Jesus to come back and sin? What's it say? It says, everyone who has this hope in him purifies himself just as he is pure, Jesus. Amen? And that's why I say, I'm a preacher that preaches against sin. Some people don't like it. You know, I preach against sin because the Bible says it over and over and over again. A lot of churches never mention sin, mention hell or repent, the word repent, or repentance, things like that. Sin is a big deal. It always will be. We're saved. We're set free from it. But it doesn't say we can go back to it and indulge in it, right? Sin is death. Jesus is life. That's all you got to know. Sin leads to death. Amen? And so we always want to be more like Jesus. So what do? We purify ourselves. Amen? What does that mean, man? That means you guard against sin and the things that the Lord shows you that he doesn't want in your life. Get it out of your life. Amen? Repent from it and get it out. Amen? If you're watching some program on TV and God don't want you to watch, you know, and it's, you get this little check inside and don't watch it no more. Get rid of it. Amen? Change the way you're talking. Change the way you're doing things. Amen? Start lining yourself up with what God wants. You purify yourself. Amen? You don't want to be going around sinning. You want to go around kicking sin out of your life. Amen? And to say that we're perfect and we got no sin, the Bible says, well, that's a lie. Because we all have, you know. We're not, you know, we are not a habitual sinner like, say, before we got saved. But there's still, sin is constantly trying to get into your life. And you've got to guard against it. Amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah. Those living carelessly and recklessly and immorally are not expecting him to come. They're just like, whoopee, where's the party, you know? You know, that's the way it used to be, Friday night. When I was a kid or teenager, young person in my 20s, where's the party? That's all I wanted to know. Where's the party, right? I wasn't expecting Jesus to come back. I didn't give him the time of day. I didn't go to church or anything. And that's why I teach about the way you live your life in holiness. You know, you've got to be ready. You got to live your life like the Lord came back today. Right? Because you don't know. Remember the 10 virgins? 5 had oil in the lamps and 5 didn't. You can go off on your little sin trip, right? And hey, what if Jesus comes back? Well, you're doing that, you know. I'd rather be right there, man, with lamp and my oil, boy. Wait, I'm ready, amen? I'm going to do my best to follow Jesus and, you know, purify myself, amen? The Bible says that without holiness, no one will see the Lord, amen? So be ready. Our Lord's coming and almost certainly in our lifetime. Almost certainly in our lifetime. Amen? Okay, so we'll stop there. Praise God. Claudia has a word. Amen. Is there anybody here today that has not received Jesus as their Lord and would like to do that today and know for sure that, you know, that they're saved? And if they die today, you're going to go to heaven. It's a good day to do that. Amen. Today is the day of salvation. Amen. Amen. Today's the day of the Lord. All right. Praise God. Okay. Well, let's pray. Father, we thank you for this message today, and I believe it did touch people's heart and gave them some things to think about. Praise God. And then encourages them to follow you and obey your word. Amen. And purify themselves and get the worldliness and the sin out. Amen. As you show us that things that we don't know that's there, that when you bring it up and show us, we'll cleanse it out. Amen.
Amen.
In Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Glory to God. All right.